Morning, everybody. It's good to see everyone. It's good to see everyone on, well, if you can see us online. And I know Pastor Grant Swasting, so hi, Grant. he's not checking up, he's just really involved and wants to know that everything's going well. So. And we love him for it. We've been in a series where we talk about what we believe, and this morning is the last sermon we have on that topic. Last week, Pastor Marius Gradwell was here, had an amazing sermon just on what Christ has done for us, and realize how important it is, and realize the reason why we stand and get involved and get committed and be part of a church family and a local family is because of what Christ has done for us. And this morning I want to talk about the commitment of belonging to a family. And I'm not going to talk about membership or partnership or anything like that, because the only person that we partner with is God. But at the same time, we also dwell together as believers. And then when we dwell together as believers in relationship, there automatically does come a commitment. Not a convenience. Because the ultimate question is that when God calls us to be planted, Psalms 1, blessed are those who are planted by the river. They shall grow. Blessed is the one who is planted in the house of the Lord. So we have to somewhere belong somewhere. We have to have some sort of commitment if we want to grow. Somewhere we are going to experience a little bit of uncomfortability, because if we don't, we're not going to grow. Sunday mornings is not a wonderful drive-through where it's all quick, get a sermon done, feel good about myself. What are you going to do? What are we going to do out there to display God's glory, God's goodness, God's faithfulness as a family? Because we are all living for something bigger than ourselves. That's why we belong here. So God together has given Oak Hill, who is not a building or a black and white sign outside, okay? It's a church, which is people, not a building. And so when we are a church together, God gives us a mandate. And what's the mandate? Building God's family and advancing His kingdom. And we know the kingdom of God is within us. And as the kingdom of God is within us, we belong to the family of God. And so we plug into a local church where we belong to. And then it requires commitment. And I'll say it honestly and truthfully and lovingly as possible, that we cannot build what God has called us to do with a few people. We need everybody. But we do it because we love Jesus. Not because we perform, not because you want to be seen, and you can't buy your way into it, okay? That's not what it's about this morning. It's about, what am I committed to? First of all, I'm committed to Christ Jesus, and then I'm committed to His family. And so, when we read in Romans 15, verse 5 to 7, Paul gives us such a good picture of why it's important to be part of something that's bigger than ourselves, which is the body of Christ, but also what it means then to be committed. He says, may the God who gives this patience and encouragement help you to live in complete harmony with each other, as fitting for the followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God. the Father God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given the glory. So let's give you quick context of the scripture. In Romans 14 and 15, Paul is addressing tensions between the Jews and the Gentiles. Okay, they had different convictions about holidays, holy holidays in those times, the culture, food, and just cultural in general. Okay, doesn't sound different to what we're facing today. We all have opinions and differences and thoughts about what we think about what should and should not happen today in church or outside of church, right? So he's addressing, and Paul's concern is not that everyone becomes a copycat or an identical believer. His concern was rather that believers who are different remain united. Because unity is what's the important part for Jesus in his body. It doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter where we go to church. Can we all come together for the same purpose, and that's serving Jesus? So it's important for us to understand this morning that Paul says that can we recognize that unity is not something that we naturally produce as humans. Difference is. Okay? But can we allow God's grace to grant us the power to live in unity with one another, so that we can create a space where people can come into the kingdom, they can feel loved, they can belong, and they can be committed. That's what God's called us to do. So our commitment does start with our relationship with Him. So the big idea this morning is not to conform, but it's to say we commit ourselves because of our covenant with Jesus Christ, okay? That we will protect the unity, that we will share responsibility, that we will serve faithfully, and for the strengthening and the testimony and the witness of the faith of the church. So that the church should look like what it's supposed to look like. A bunch of imperfect people just searching God together, working towards the ultimate goal. And so this morning there is no pressure or a message this morning that goes out to say, but you need to, otherwise, if you don't belong, it's okay. If you don't experience if you don't experience feeling welcomed, feeling loved, whatever, it's important to understand this morning that we're not going to drive a commitment towards a specific church. We always say it, and we'll say it again. Oak Hill is one of the churches in Durbanville. It's where has God called you? Because that's where you will grow. Not where you find it convenient. You see, I don't mind offending people this morning with the truth. I'm going to be real honest. If this is not the place for you, then it's not the place for you. But we cannot stay stale as Christians. There needs to be a flow where we live out our relationship with Jesus. We have groups that we connect to, or we have people that we connect to, but then there needs to be an outflow of that. Why? To display the glory of Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of being together in unity. It's not about this place. It's about Him. I want to emphasize that this morning. So when we do believe and when we do commit to Him, we commit to His family. So, what do we struggle with so much? And I said it earlier, the convenience culture. In our culture today, we value so much convenience over commitment that we struggle with commitment. We have people that move between jobs, communities, organizations, churches, and we do it so easily. And God never intended for us to just to attend gatherings. He intended us to belong to a family. But that requires commitment because He adopted us. Remember what God says in Psalm 60, He puts the lonely. Psalm 60, He says He puts the lonely into family. So He's adopted you into His family. And it's important for us that when we are part of His family, that it doesn't matter what differences we have or not have, what we believe or don't believe. The common goal is to live for the unity and the testimony of who Jesus is. What is that testimony? Okay? That testimony is, hey, when we live together, okay, we believe that God wants to, first of all, we choose love over criticism. Rock by a still Lebanon. But isn't that true? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 8, and I can recite it because I've preached at many of your weddings that I did. But he says, is that love is kind, gentle. Love is not boasting by itself, but it hopes all things, trusts all things. Love never fails. Paraphrasing, I might have missed a couple there. But the point is this morning that we love people. And the important part is when somebody is at fault, it doesn't keep a record of the wrong. It doesn't criticize the wrong. It loves you into a place where we love one another to say, hey, just sit down for a second. Jy is verkeerd. You have a blind spot. Can I walk with you? And that is what we call a relationship, dwelling in relationship, but allowing God to use somebody in our lives to disciple us. Because discipleship is part of God's kingdom. Discipleship's not, hey, I see you once a month and you have a tick box and say, great, I saw you. I'm discipled. No. It's like when I walk into Grant's office one morning and he and Christine were sitting there and I was just, it was one of those mornings. I was ticked off. Okay? And I was fiery. Like, I don't know, my wife now calls me spicy. Okay, so I'm spicy. So I was spicy that morning. Okay, I'm the cayenne pepper that morning in the office. So I was feeling then, as I was talking and I was passionate, but I was also so ticked off about something, Grant just paused the whole conversation. He says, Eddie, look at me. And I love it when he does it because then I know, okay, here it comes. Jesus, not Grant, but Jesus is about to correct me right now. And I'm bracing myself for it. He says, what's wrong? Obviously, when your stem goes high, nooks, no, they know you're lying, okay? But he says, your tone and your behavior is affecting the atmosphere right now in this room. What's wrong? I'm angry. Okay, why? And I could explain. He says, you need to, let's pray together, but then you need to pull yourself towards yourself and get over what you're angry about. You're allowed to say it, but we have to move on because we've got something greater to achieve. We can't stop you because you're feeling a specific emotion and allowing something to have power over you that shouldn't have power over you. That's discipleship. And so they prayed for me, and I could move on. Amen? That's what discipleship is. It's lovingly telling you the truth. And so when we're involved in God's family, that's what we do. So, why? It's because if I was allowed to continuously be angry around that table, we would not get to a decision of unity. So when we have differences, we are so easy to criticize those differences because we share about them. Okay? And then it goes into what we say, gossip. God hates gossip. It's unnecessary to gossip. Here's the thing, if we cannot say what we feel about that person in their face, what are we? Hypocrites. I've been there. Okay? So let's stop gossiping and protect the unity and the harmony of the church, because that's what God wants us to have. You see, we should be the example. In the church, we should be the example of where we don't gossip. Where if somebody wants to say something about somebody else that's rude, derogatory, of achteraf, okay, behind their backs, we should stop. Say, whoa, 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 I don't want to hear that. Okay, if you have an issue, the Bible says, if you have an issue with your brother, go to him. Okay, that means we pick up the phone. Listen, I need to have a coffee with you. I'm struggling. Okay, it says here, let me read it to you. It says here, in Colossians 3:13-14, bear with each other and forgive one another. If you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Love brings us back to unity. Love brings us back to a place where we dwell together. We don't tolerate, we accept, and kindly get into a place of relation, discipleship relationship, first with Jesus, then with man, so that we can walk out what we have in us. Because at the same time, how important it is that God's using people in our lives, the Holy Spirit is continuously at work in your life to grow you. And he's going to place you in some uncomfortable situations and uncomfortable conversations so that we can either be corrected and learn and have a moment where we grow spiritually, or we're going to run away. But if we're going to run away, you must understand the door gets open for offense. The door gets open for bitterness. And that's not going to carry the unity and the glory of God. So if we are offended this morning, if we are bitter this morning, we need to check the hearts. David prayed and said, Lord, if there's anything evil in my life, if there's anything untoward, search my heart, O Lord. How many times do we pray that and we don't understand what we are really asking God to do? Because if God is searching and he finds something, are we willing to act on it? That's what God is requiring us to do. And then can we walk it out in relationship with one another? Because that's what church is there for. Not to judge imperfection, but to come alongside and walk with one another. Okay? What do we need to pursue? Reconciliation. Bible says we are in the ministry of reconciliation. We need to ask a good question. Am I contributing to the harmony and the unity of our church, or am I creating disunity through my actions? Mature believers, who all of us are in that process of maturity, are called to move towards the difficult conversations, so that we can be peacemakers and not peacekeepers. Jesus says, blessed are those who are peacemakers, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. Peacemakers is when I go and I say, hang on a second, let's talk about this. We are naturally don't love confrontation, right? It's got a very negative connotation, okay? But when we can, in love, walk to one another and say, listen, this is an issue. Can we talk about it? Now, in the world out there, They didn't care. It's like, if you have an issue, get over yourself. Fantastic. Great. I will get over myself after I've had an eye to eye with you. Because I'm not going to... Here's the thing, guys, is people live rent-free in our lives at times. Because they say things to us, they do things to us, and we should accept it, and we just... Oh, we will need the harmony and the ice bevar. Happy wife, happy life. Okay? We're not going to confront that person at work, because otherwise they're going to explode. No. Let them explode. Lari bombars. Okay? Kobus, ek weet jy trek jy gesig, want jy, ek weet jy's a... dinge met so gaan. But we just need to sometimes tip the card, man. Can I have the conversation with a person? We cannot live where something, it's not a person, where something has power over you. Because the Spirit of God is in and upon us. He's not given us a spirit of fear and intimidation, but a spirit of what? Power, love, and of a sound mind. So that when we walk in unity to the reflect the glory of Christ and the church, is we are peacemakers, not peacekeepers. So we have to have the difficult conversations. Right, to reconcile. Yes, you <Liz. laughs> So, it's not ag. Here's the thing, guys. What we do, and part of the church for us, is also, what do we give you? Time, effort, and money. Okay? That's reality. What do we do at home? We give time, effort, and money. That's part of the family. Okay? But giving. I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about nou met julle al julle geld in julle huise en goed verkoop en julle moet vir die kerk gee, nie asseblief. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? What I'm saying here is, it's worship towards the King. So he's asking you when you give, he says, I love the scripture, in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 8, he says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. Do not give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. And then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. So when we have talents and gifts and things and resources that we can bring to the table, what can we do to bring it to further the kingdom of God at our church family, at work, in our own physical families? Because that's what God's called us to give. And we don't do it grudgingly. We don't do it out of performance. We do it out of relationship with Him. So that comes with no pressure. In fact, it comes with the yoke that Jesus puts on us that's easy and light. And it comes with lots of grace. But he says, purpose in your heart what you should give. And again, every act of faithful service contributes to the glory of God. A healthy church is not built on a few people doing everything. It's built when everybody in the family accepts responsibility for the family that God has placed in them. And then that spills over to Romans, what he says in verse 7 in Romans 15, he says, accept one another then, just as Christ has accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. So, when we welcome people, we welcome them with the heart of Christ, because Christ has welcomed us into the kingdom. And so, How do we welcome people? We welcome people whether they're believers or sinners. We welcome them whether they are far or not. because we know this could be a place where they could find Christ. This could be a place where they can belong. Jesus welcomed us when we had nothing. Jesus welcomed us when we had nothing to offer. His welcome is entirely based on grace. And that's what we should extend to people, is grace. That means nobody in the church has earned their place. Every one of us stands equal on equal ground at the foot of the cross. And the same grace that brought us to Christ should shape the way that we treat other people. And that is value. Every other person is a person of value. Whether they have lots, whether they have nothing, it's a person of value. They're God's creation. So therefore, I want to say the following. So a lot of other things I can say is that we need to open up our lives to other people so we can build relationship. We're not just here to attend. Let's move beyond our friendship circles so they don't become cliquey. Okay? And let's belong to a place where every member, every person that belongs and is committed to the body of Christ, to Oak Hill, to whichever church, that you contribute something that that draws people in to the kingdom of God. But this Sunday service cannot be it. Our lives cannot be built around on a Sunday. Our lives need to be built on a daily walk with Jesus and a daily walk with people that you walk in relationship with, that you dwell with closely, that you trust. So, what am I saying this morning? It's about, I will protect my family. Those of you that are dads this morning and moms, you know you will do anything to protect your children, right? God will do anything to protect His church because He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. And what our role is that we say, Jesus, this is not ours, this is yours, but what can we do to contribute? Because we want to be part of that. So we can't just attend. We want to pursue God's glory. We want to pursue His presence. We want to display it out there so that people can see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords at work in our lives and in their lives. We don't sit with a cayenne pepper attitude, okay? But we sit with an attitude that says, where Jesus says in 2 Corinthians, He says, now in Christ you have victory. And He says, no, I'm triumphant in Christ. And through the knowledge of Him which diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. We carry a fragrance which is His presence. And when you walk into a place that smells nice, I love smells. I love when my wife puts on nice perfume, okay? It's important that we understand as the bride of Christ and the body of Christ that we release a fragrance of Him. And if we don't allow and make space for Him to release that fragrance through us, where are people going to see the glory of God? It's our responsibility as a church. And then, when we belong, I want to say the following. And worship team, you can come up. When we belong, God is calling us to have a home. Okay? He's inviting us to something quite and much deeper than just attending or involvement. He's calling us to genuine belonging. He's not calling us simply to be present, but here it is. belonging is joyfully committing yourself to the people that God has placed around you for His glory. That's what we're committing to. That's why we are together. That's why we are a family. So, this morning, I don't know where you are, whether you're visiting, whether you're with us for a long time. But I want to encourage you this morning, get connected, first of all, with God, and find a family. Find a church family where you really believe God's called you and planted you to grow. Because mere attendance is not going to cut it. Let's break that religious mindset this morning. Stop being so religious about it. Okay, it's great that you're coming to church on a Sunday morning. We are so appreciative that you are here this morning. But what God's call this morning is not what Eddie feels is so nice and comfortable. What God's call is this morning is belong. Commit. Because I have something for you in that commitment. There's growth. There's opportunity. But can we go there with God? I think we should pray, right? Because I need it now. Let's all stand and let's trust God this morning that we move from a place of attendance to commitment. We're not just here to fill seats this morning. We're here to grow. We're here to participate. We're here to do what God's called us to do and make disciples. That's what God's called us to do. To become all that God's called you to be. Even if it means using the people around you. So Father, I thank you this morning that you are our Father this morning and we are a part of your family. And I pray for all of us this morning that we would understand that attendance is great. But you want us to belong. Where we belong, we can feel safe. We can be ourselves. In a place of belonging, we can grow and build relationships. I thank you, Lord God, that there will be a space this morning in our hearts where we open up our lives for you to disciple us again, Father. But that means allowing people into our lives again. And I know for a lot of us this morning, that is a challenge because there's been hurt, there's been betrayal, or people have lorded over us in the name of accountability and discipleship. So I want to break that hold this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that your heart towards us is not evil, but it's good. The plans you have for us is that of a hope and a future. But you want us to walk it together as a family. And I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would break double-mindedness in people's minds right now. That is to and fro, your word says. If we are double-minded, your word says we don't receive anything from the Lord. But I pray this morning that we will make a decision this morning to be committed to Christ and His family. That we will be committed to one another, Father. That we will care for one another. That we won't gossip and criticize. But that we will accept. And that if we accept, that we will be kind and loving enough to give the truth of the word to one another, Father. And allow the word to disciple us. And make us more like Jesus. And so I pray this morning, Father God, that you will come and just break any religious mindset this morning of just attendance this morning, but something of belonging, something of commitment will just sink in right now in Jesus' name. And I pray this morning for people that have been hurt, that have been so committed to places where they've served, where they've given everything, and it's been taken for granted. And I pray this morning that you will bring healing into that space this morning. Where they feel used and abused. Only you can heal that, Lord. But I pray this morning that somewhere that you will start that process. In Jesus' name. Lord, forgive us where we've made about everything else except you. May we come back to that heart of worship where it's all about you. Remove the idols in our lives. I pray, Father, that we will not make excuses for not to be involved, but we'll try and find an excuse to be involved. And so I pray that over all of us this morning. And I pray that you will deal with us individually where we're at with you. But know that you love us. You've got the best for us in mind. In Jesus' name, amen.